Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room podcast. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer here. And who would have thought, Ray, a week ago that we would be sitting here at the start of the week talking about a 1-2 football team? Because after that Washington State game, it looked like we may be talking about a 1-11 football team in a few months. As shocked as anybody.
I'm as shocked as anybody as well. And this is coming from a guy who had him penciled in for 4 wins this year and was called crazy. Now I'm really not so crazy, but I said it yesterday after the Washington State game, a 59-7 defeat. Everybody, fans, media, had kind of written the program's obituary for the year. It was over with. Let's get ready for hoop season. Now, all of a sudden, they win 40-20 against Hawaii. Not only did they beat Hawaii, they thoroughly beat Hawaii, and they look good in the process doing it. Ryan, the problem against Washington State was defensively they couldn't stop a nosebleed. And what do you know? Against Hawaii, the defense was great.
Yeah, and a lot of credit goes all – the credit's going to go all around. Defensive line played great. They recorded 3 sacks. James Dunlap was back in Brian Moniz's face for much of the night. That led to better pass protection. The secondary, was much stickier in its coverage, and with rush decisions from Moniz a lot of the night, they were able to make some plays. Sidney Hodge had an outstanding game. Some of the linebackers played great. I'm as guilty as anybody because I said a week ago, with all the problems that they showed at Washington State defensively, how much can they realistically take care of as far as correcting it in 6 days? I'm pretty stunned.
Yeah, pretty stunned. But I think the question, and I don't want to look too far ahead because we obviously want to break down the game a little bit, but was the game against Hawaii where they also limited Ryan Hawaii to 6 yards rushing. Was the game against Hawaii the norm or was it the exception? Could we expect better performances defensively the rest of the way, or was this like a one-game fluke type of thing, or is it not going to be as bad as it was against Washington State, but definitely probably not as good as it was last Saturday?
I think the third one is probably the most likely. And look, I'm not trying to not give an answer here, but we're honestly not going to know until Saturday because, look, against Wisconsin, the offense looked confident and good, and then they looked terrible a week later at Washington State. So we've seen this team turn on a dime in both directions in just 3 games. So, I think ideally Bobby Houck would like to get some consistency going here, and I think there's a good chance of it because of the way the schedule lays out. But, I'd probably lean towards them making this the norm because, confidence goes a long way with a college football team, and this team was brimming with it after Saturday's game.
Yeah, and obviously what a difference a week makes. 2 weeks ago against Washington State, you could argue they might have thrown in the towel. Last week against Hawaii, great performance, and after the game, obviously I was at the Mayweather fight, you were at the football game, but the scene on the sideline is players and coaches hugging and celebration, and this was a team that was on life support going into the Hawaii game, and not only did they win the game, not only did they gain confidence, but in the process they showed, hey, this season's far from over, we got each other's backs, and we're very impressed, and the emotions to me speak volumes.
Well, let's take a look at the schedule because you say the season's not over, and this, look, coming in, the Washington State game looked like the most important game of the season. If they could compete in that and maybe win it, they give themselves a chance to do something because I think we all wrote the Wisconsin and Hawaii games up as losses. So they get one of the first 3, just not the one we expected. Now you have a what used to be Division I AA team, Southern Utah, now known as FCS, coming to town Saturday night for a 6 p.m. contest. It's a game you should win. And if UNLV does, go by the book and win this game, you got a bye week, and then you're preparing for a Reno team that, let's face it, down this year. They took an absolute beating at Oregon 2 weeks ago in their opener. They beat San Jose State this weekend on the road in an ugly affair. Just, they're lacking some confidence now. I'd say UNLV is definitely the more confident of the 2 teams right now. It has to be.
They are, and let's not look past Southern Utah, though. UNLV, obviously not a good enough team to do that. Southern Utah throws the ball around pretty good, and UNLV has shown that it's not that good guarding the pass. But you're right. They should win Saturday against Southern Utah. They should be 2-2, and their next two games, a bye week before a winnable Reno game, and then Wyoming, I think, are two winnable games. And this team could very well, and I know it's crazy, they could very well be 4-2. Now, playing devil's advocate with myself, they haven't won a road game under Bobby Houck, his second year. You made a great point earlier when we were talking in the newsroom. When they kicked the field goal against Hawaii, it was the first time they had scored in a game that led first in a game in the Bobby Houck era. Just the third win in his era, and UNLV traditionally the last, whatever, 10 years awful on the road. But glass half full, glass half empty.
Well, it's like you said, you always want to be optimistic, and it's just human nature to be optimistic after a victory like Saturday's. But, you know, yeah, the reality is this has been a terrible road team for the last couple of years, and they're going to have to prove that before, you know. Look, I don't know. I don't care what they do to Southern Utah this weekend. I can't realistically pick them to win at Reno until I see him win a road game.
Yeah, but the good part is they do have an offense that can move the ball. Mm. Now, the offense needs help from the defense. The defense has to be semi-productive, not as productive as they were against Hawaii. But if the defense could somewhat carry its weight, I think the offense is getting good enough to win games. And I know that's crazy because you're saying, what, this is the quarterback Caleb Herring's fourth start this weekend. But, I mean, he managed the ball well. They're opening the pass game with the run. Cornette and Randall look great against Hawaii. And I just think that it's a team that, while it's young, it's starting to come together. And it's crazy that we're even talking about it because nobody expected them to beat Hawaii. But maybe this is that's the signature victory that they need under Bobby Houck moving the right way.
I do agree. It is the signature win. And you kind of alluded to the scene on the field after the game. I mean, the hugs, the high fives, the yelling, the celebrating. Here's the thing. A couple years ago, you know, under the previous regime, you know, they would get big wins like this and then just have total letdowns. Bobby Houck does not strike me as the kind of coach that, you know, he's going to do absolutely everything in his power to make sure that's not the case. Because like you said, this is a capable Southern Utah team. Their quarterback, Brad Sorensen, you know, a BYU transfer, he slings it around pretty good. I've heard some people say he might be the best quarterback in the state of Utah right now. So that's, you know, it's some high praise. You know, but look, if UNLV replicates its performance from last week, I mean, there's no question they're winning this game.
Yeah, and it's amazing what a pass rush could give you. You know, obviously we talked last year, UNLV had 12 sacks last year. You know, this year they had one sack in the Wyoming game, one sack in the Washington State game. Now all of a sudden against Wyoming?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin,
yeah.
And Washington State. Now all of a sudden they're in the backfield, the pressure on the quarterback, and it's totally different. It gives your DBs that are young some time to get into good pass coverage. You know, it doesn't expose other weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of positives, but the ability just to have a pass rush, I think you can't underestimate.
All right. Well, let's talk predictions. How do you see this playing out? Do you see UNLV avoiding the letdown spot? And if you see them winning, how handily do you see this being? Because here's the thing. I mean, you're talking about a team that was roughly a 20-point underdog last week. Now they're probably going to enter this week as almost a 20-point favorite.
Yeah, and it's kind of tough for me because I wasn't at the game, so I didn't see it fall down. I mean, I didn't see what happened. But I'd have to say that they're going to win and that they're going to keep the momentum going and that they're going to win at least by double digits. Okay, now Southern Utah last year went to Wyoming, which I was thinking earlier, and almost beat them.
Yeah.
So they definitely could play. But they don't have Tyson Poots this year, who was in camp with the Cowboys, a local kid who leads the school in every receiving category. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is as good a Southern Utah team as it was last year. But then again, you know, UNLV is not a world beater by any means. They get to 2-2. I think they're in great shape, man.
I'm going to say UNLV wins it by about 14. I think we're looking about a 34-20 game. Okay. That's kind of where I'm going to stick.
Because I'm kind of thinking the same thing. Part of me says maybe they'll do to Southern Utah what they did to Sac State 2 years ago. It was kind of a little rough.
It could happen.
A little rough at first, and then they just warm out.
Yeah.
But then the other part of me is like this team is not built to, you know,
kill people.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're built to win. They're just not built to, you know, let's get the third string kicker in.
Mm. I agree. So I think we're kind of in agreement. We're probably going to be podcasting next week talking about a 2-2 team, and then start looking at Reno for a couple weeks, which I know you love.
I love Reno. I think it's the...
It's your favorite place in America, isn't it?
It's my favorite place, and listen, they play for the Fremont Cannon. The winning team paints it either blue for Reno or red for UNLV.
How many layers of blue paint are on that thing
right now? I'm telling you right now that Home Depot is going to run out of red paint whenever UNLV wins that because it's probably so thick. It's been, what, 7 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Whew, 7 years. And it's amazing to even think that we're having a conversation that UNLV could go on the road and win that game.
All right, well, we're going to explore that more next week. For Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Podcast. We'll talk to you next week after UNLV, Southern Utah. Until then, take care.